Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
You wanted to start out with a joke.
We're going to do something different. Instead of the favorite team, let's just start out with a little humor.
Boy, look in. I got one for you real quick.
You go first.
So, that was this pimp. Drove through this small town. He was really, really hungry. It's like, golly, the biggest town is just further away. I'm just so hungry. Drove through this small town. Small town had a fruit stand. Only thing that was open on that Sunday morning, fruit stand. Fruit stand sitting there, little boy sitting there. Go up there, he said, man, I need me one of them apples. The pimp ain't got no money, but the little boy sitting there, he got a big red juicy apple. That pimp said, how much you selling that apple for? He said, that little boy said, you ain't got enough money for this apple. He said, you can't tell me how much money I got, little boy. He said, how much you want for the apple? He said, you ain't got enough money. I'm telling you, you might well gone on. You ain't got enough money to buy this apple, so don't waste your time. He said, what makes you think I ain't got enough? He said, I'll give you $200 for that. He said, I'll give you $2,000 for that. He said, man, what is it about that apple? And how you know I ain't got enough money to get that, to buy that apple? He said, you see that house over there? That two-car garage? He said, yeah. He said, you see that red porch parked out there? He said, yeah. He said, my sister got that with a cherry. What you think I'm gonna get with this big old apple?
I got one. A farmer and has three farmhands.
All right.
A Chinese farmhand, a black farmhand, and a white farmhand.
Okay.
So he leaves, but before he leaves, he puts a chastity belt around his wife.
Okay.
It's got a little razor blade around that area.
Right.
So a couple of days later, he comes back. He lines up all the farmhands. Tells the Chinese farmhand, take down your pants. Chinese farmhand takes down his pants. Small yellow dick is all chopped up and nicked and bruised. And the farmer kills a Chinese farmhand. Then he looks at the black farmhand, says, take down your pants. And black farmhand takes down his pants. This big old thing comes out, and it's cut up and nicked up. And the farmer shoots the black farmhand. So he goes to the white farmhand. The white farmhand is nervous. He is nervous. He looks at him, and the guy says, take down your pants. And the white guy takes down his pants, and his small little penis is fine.
Right.
Nothing. Farmer looks at him and goes, thank God I could trust you. You can stay. And the white guy goes, thank you, little mother. You know any mama jokes? since it's Mother's Day.
All right. Well, see, the jokes I know about the mother was they was like, your mother so this.
Ah.
All right. So I got one. I said, well, your mother so dumb. Your mother so dumb.
How dumb was she?
She was on her way to the airport. She saw the sign say airport left. She turned around and went home.
Your mother so black. How black was she?
How black was she?
She leave fingerprints on charcoal.
How about one more look? Here go one. Your mama so black.
How black was she?
She so black. When she get out the car, the oil light come on. Okay. All right. Oh, happy Mother's Day. Mother's Day.
The Yoda moment is him telling you something about the Bible or prayer or something spiritual, trying to explain it so you can kind of get a vast understanding in while you're sitting there listening to it. So tell us the importance of prayer. How should we pray? when should we pray? And in this area, is some sort of formal or prayer that you like?
All right. To answer your first question,
the importance of prayer.
Okay. The importance of prayer is so important that prayer is the reason it's so important is because it is the lifeline that we have between us and our Father. And it's a lifeline that's free. You don't get charged for it.
Right.
So you can make calls anytime you want. You don't get charged for prayer. It's free. And it's important because we have to talk about, we have to talk to and hear from our Father. People think prayer is a dialogue. It's not a dialogue. It's a monologue. It's two people. If we do all the talking, then when can we listen? So in prayer, that's why it's important, because God will talk to you in prayer too.
That's right.
When he speaks to us in prayer. So that's another reason why it's important. The model prayer, Jesus said, this is the model prayer. Say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Make sure thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and glory forever and ever. Amen. The model prayer. This is why it's so important, because the disciples actually came to Jesus and they asked him, they say, hey, teach us how to pray.
Right.
Because it's what we're doing, we don't want to pray for the wrong thing. So
right, right.
That's how important prayer is. One last thing about prayer. Prayer is a childlike petition to an all-wise, all-knowing, all-powerful Father God.
Say that again.
Prayer is a childlike petition to an all-wise, all-knowing, all-powerful Father God.
Whew. That's humbling. Deep.
Yes.
Yoda, that's deep.
Shout out to Elder Margaret Curry. She taught me about that, about prayer. She's a prayer warrior.
Say it again.
Elder Margaret Curry.
Elder Margaret Curry.
She, yes.
Shout out to her.
She raised me.
Okay.
Like in the professor. I remember that way back then. Remember he broke his toe?
Yeah.
I was so happy. I had to just say that. All right. So here we go. How does the Dallas Cowboy fan change a light bulb? All right. Here we go. They don't. They just talk about how good the old one was, which is what Dallas Cowboy fans
do. That's all they do, talk about the good old days.
Yeah.
And Emmitt Smith.
And that this year is the year.
Yeah, right. Every year they say the same thing.
Cap. I like that one.
Did you hear about the joke that Dak told his receivers?
No.
They didn't either. It went over their heads.
Wow. It's like all the balls he throws. I like that. What do the Dallas Cowboys and Chick-fil-A manager have in common? Neither one shows up for work on Sunday. That's good. That's good. That's real good. I like that.
What do you say to a Dallas Cowboy in a suit? Will the defendant please rise?
At least all Dallas Cowboy did. What do the Dallas Cowboys and Billy... Oh, like, oh, man. What do the Dallas Cowboys and Billy Graham have in common? They both can make 70,000 people stand up and yell, Jesus Christ.
I thought you would like that one.
I was good, bro.
How do you keep a Dallas Cowboy out of your front yard?
How?
Put up goalposts.
They're never coming there,
they're
right?
Never coming to your yard.
Right, right.
Yeah.
All right. Look. So listen, I want to start with this. Because I let LB tell his first, and then I want you to tell us what yours is. We always start with the favorite NFL team and why. So I want Lance to start with his. What's your favorite NFL team and tell us why?
The Pittsburgh Steelers. In 1976, my dad took me to a New York Giants football game. He played for the Giants, and so he took me to my first football game.
McKinley Boston. Shout out to McKinley Boston.
So we go to the game, and the Giants are playing the Steelers. And the backstory is I'm colorblind, so I couldn't see colors at all at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So in the game, the Steelers come out the tunnel. They come to the locker room. I'm like, Wow, look at the black and gold uniforms. I'm 6 years old tripping over the black and gold uniforms.
You're supposed to be there for the Giants, bro.
Right, right. Yeah, okay. I'm like, yo, so I'm like, that made me a fan right there. So
you traded on Pops.
I traded on Pops for the Steelers. Giants are my second favorite team.
Let me ask you this real quick before we let Marcus tell his. What did your dad say? What did Pops say when you
He was cool. He never tripped about me following the Steelers.
Now, see, is your dad still a diehard
He watches Giants the Steelers too, and he watches the Giants.
Okay, so he kind of go back and forth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, all right.
He knows my love for the Steelers, so he supports that.
All right. So look, Mr. Thomas, Marcus, what's your favorite NFL team and why? Tell us why.
Well, my favorite team are the Steelers also.
Okay, so I got two Steeler Nation people here.
Yeah, man, we're going to keep it 100.
Why is that your team?
Growing up in Memphis, man, we had two teams, Cowboys and Steelers. So you had to pick, man. You had to pick early. You got to know early in life in Memphis, you know. And I picked the Steelers. And my grandmama ordered that Steeler coat from that JCPenney catalog. And you know, when they get it from the catalog, you know, it's coming straight to you.
Facts.
You know that?
That's the real deal right there, that JCPenney. Yeah, you remember the JCPenney catalog, that big thing catalog, right?
Yeah, man.
Right next to the Sears catalog.
That's right. Right next to the Sears one. So
and the Montgomery Ward catalog.
Right.
That's right. And I had the Steeler one, and my little cousin, he's a Cowboy diehard fan right now, and he had Cowboy.
So listen,
that was it.
I got to say this, because this I like to talk about regions. You said living in Memphis, you had two teams that y'all chose from, Dallas or Pittsburgh.
Right.
Now, I got to ask this question. Why were they the two teams? Why wasn't it just name? I mean, why wasn't it somebody else? I'm just asking.
Well, you got to look at the demographics.
That's what I want to hear.
At noon, the regional game, are the Steelers at noon? They come on at 12.
Oh.
So we got to hurry up and get home from church. You know, you know, growing up in Memphis, you got to go to church too.
Right. That's it. I love it. I got to shout out. Yeah. Shout out to Mama and them. Yeah. Mama and them always made you go to church.
You at church.
Shout out to Mama and them.
What's your favorite NFL team?
Oakland Raiders.
Why?
Well, I like the All the blacks that played there. I mean, they was. I mean, it's one while I've just seen they was all black. When you put the white guy in there, he played like a black guy. You know, you know. So he had a helmet on, pulled up, so he was black too.
Hey, so that was when Art Shell was there too, right? Art Shell.
Art Shell was there. Matter of fact, he became the first black coach to have, but really, black coach really back in the old days. Back in 1927, somewhere as a black coach, but the modern day coach, Art Shell, was the head coach, yeah.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah. Sure was. He was the head coach, yeah. I like the Raiders, they were tough. I mean, they had other people off their game. You know, whenever you get people off your game, you got them.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Whenever you get people off their game, you got them. And then you make them tired. Don't seem like the Raiders ever got tired. So they were rested through the whole game. You know, they come off the bench hitting you and biting you, you know, your nuts. I mean, they was the Mike Tyson in football. If they could get to your ear, they would get to it. And Al Davis just said, win, baby. He said, kick ass, baby, kick ass. No matter what it takes, I'm gonna pay you. I'm gonna pay you. Just kick ass. I'm gonna pay you now. You know.
Right. Your team and why?
Oh man, I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, and
uh-oh.
I've been a Cowboys fan for the longest.
Uh-oh.
Since the late 70s. Yeah, I hear Coach getting choked up over there. But I mean, I'm a Roger Staubach, Danny White, Troy Aikman, you know, the whole nine. Dallas Cowboys all day.
All right, what made you a Dallas Cowboy fan? Why did you become a fan?
Well, part of the reason was, you know, as I was growing up, I spent quite a bit of time with my grandfather down in Trinity Garden. And he was a Cowboys fan. He was a Cubs fan, you know, the whole nine. But those Cowboys were the thing. So with the Cowboys being on TV just about every Sunday, it just became a Sunday thing for us to see the team, root for the team. And for me, it just made it that much more because that was the team that my grandfather loved.
Okay.
So, who was your favorite player?
Who's my favorite player? Man, I've picked up a few over the years, but when I first started out, it was Ed Too Tall Jones.
Mm.
Why'd you like Too Tall?
Man, he was a defensive force.
Wow.
You remember Jethro Pugh? Jethro Pugh? I think he played for the Cowboys, too. Jethro Pugh?
Man. I don't remember him.
He played during that time, too. My mother went to school with him. Elizabeth City State. Okay. Yeah, Elizabeth City State.
Okay.
You remember him, T?
Not quite. Mm-mm.
Okay. Okay. So Dallas, and then you said Too Tall Jones. Ed Too Tall Jones.
Yeah. Hey, you know, you want to know the crazy thing, though?
What's up?
Another one of my favorite players wasn't a Cowboy at all.
Who was it? They're not the Hurricanes of old.
No.
Definitely not, dude. Mm-mm. They really don't need to go back to that because that was a dangerous team. All on and off the field. All right, look.
All
right, the biggest draft bust, man, 2007.
This is interesting.
Jamarcus Russell or 1989 Tony Mandarich. Now you got some numbers, I think, Coach.
I want you to check this out.
You showed me this off camera.
So we talk about the biggest draft bust.
Right.
Let's go 1989 draft.
All right.
Troy Aikman went number one.
Okay.
And then the Packers took Tony Mandarich,
right,
the lineman,
the big lineman.
Who never panned out,
right?
Who, guess who went afterward? I'm gonna list five players that got drafted after Tony Mandarich.
This about to be crazy.
Barry Sanders,
that's crazy.
Derek Thomas,
Pro Bowl.
Deion Sanders,
Pro Bowl.
Steve
Hall of Fame.
Atwater,
Pro Bowl Hall of Fame.
And your boy Lawyer Tillman.
Nah, he's the only one on there. Nah, shout out to Lawyer Tillman, bro.
Hey, so you got four Hall of Famers,
right?
Not players.
No, Hall of Famers.
Hall of Famers.
Barry Sanders.
Derek Thomas.
Come on, bro.
Deion Sanders and Steve Atwater.
All of them Hall of Famers. Facts.
So.
And Mandarich went before
Mandarich
them.
And Mandarich went number two before them.
And was a straight bust.
Straight bust.
Nah.
Now, the other one.
Jamarcus.
Your local boy.
They call him Biscuits and Syrup.
Biscuits.
Because you know he was sold that syrup, so they, and it made him and it made him big, so they called him Biscuits and Syrup. They did.
I think he might win just on that alone.
They had nicknamed him Biscuits and Syrup, bro.
Oh my God.
They did.
Biscuits and Syrup.
Yes.
All right. All right. In 2007.
Biscuits and Syrup. All right.
Oh my God.
All right. You were going to call it Biscuits and Syrup.
Biscuits and Syrup.
Okay.
In 2007, he went number one.
All right.
To the Raiders. And these players went after.
Oh, man.
Calvin Johnson.
Megatron.
Adrian Peterson.
Hall of Fame. Is Adrian Peterson Hall of Fame?
He going to be if
okay.
He not already.
Yeah, he Pro Bowl.
Darrell Revis.
Hall of Fame.
Ted Ginn.
Should be.
Joe Thomas.
Oh, man, bro.
So those players went right after Jamarcus Russell in 2007.
And he's the biggest bust.
I think we got to go with Biscuits and Syrup.
He got Biscuits and Syrup. Got it, bro.
Biscuits and Syrup.
He got the belt.
Biscuits and Syrup.
With a name. With
you know. You know, I drove him.
Oh, man. You
a few times. And I said one. I said at one point, we were at Waffle House. This was about 5 in the morning.
Now you see why you call them Biscuits and Syrup.
Yeah, exactly.
You finna tell me.
And I wanted to say to him, it was like I had an out-of-body experience as a father. Mm. You know, I wanted to say to him, man, you are fucking up.
Bad.
Yeah. You know, I really wanted to say that to him. But I didn't. I just kept my I just kept quiet and stuff. But you know, you had, you remember that there was the joke, they had the coach, and one coach said one coach said, man, Jamarcus Russell can throw 60 yards from his knees. Then the other coach said, yeah, but he can't hit the receiver on his feet. Enough about him. Enough about him. Enough biscuits and syrup. That's enough. Enough, enough, enough.
Hold on, bro.
I'm crying.
I want to do something special. I want to do something special.
I'm crying, bro.
I want to talk about.
All right.
I want to do a Yoda moment.
All right. I don't know nothing about this, y'all.
So when I met you.
All right.
I met you. You were on the drive of the Riverview.
Right.
And Nicholas Kidd.
Right.
And I believe there was another guy. And Shelton. Remember Shelton?
Right.
It's all standing on the drive.
Shout out to Shelton.
Shout out to Shelton. Rest in peace.
Right.
And we were talking, and you and Nicholas were talking about the devil having the answer behind his back.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us that story again?
Okay. All right. That was based on a scripture that says, with every temptation, God provides you with a way of escape.
Okay.
So in other words, the devil is the one that comes with the temptation. Right?
Right.
But he also, before he leaves, because he has to get permission from God even to even tempt you.
Right.
So the devil has to get permission from God. So when he goes, literally, to get permission, because it's in that book of Job, you couldn't do nothing without God giving permission. So anyway, it's funny you bring that up. So when God allows these things to happen, he also tells the devil, now, you have to take with you a way of escape. So, when the devil comes and shows you the temptation, he's got one hand behind his back. If you ever pause, and because the temptation is big. When temptation hits you, the tingly feeling, whole 9 yards, you feel like you got to do it.
Right.
But if we were to ever pause and say, you know what? What's behind your back? What's in your other hand? He has to say, "It's here you go. It's the way of escape."
Ooh, I like that.
That's what that was about.
Ooh.
Shout out to you, man, for remembering that.
Yoda, hey, man. That was, I was standing talking to someone else, and I heard you guys say that behind me, and I asked you to say it again. And
wow.
Then I remember Nicholas was doing the shucking and jive dance he does.
Right, right. Yeah.
And he was, you know, explaining it as well.
Right, right.
And then that moment, that's why I joined your church.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow! Wow! I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. That was that's why. Whoa. That's when I joined. That's when I went to your church. Probably a week or so after that.
Wow!
Yeah,
I like the Yoda moment, man. But yeah,
we go. Oh, you ain't finished. So in our last interview with Coach Trish Roberts,
right,
the Forgotten Lady Vol, and we're working on that. By the way,
we need to get that statue up.
We're working on that. By
we need to get the jersey hung in the banner. They need to do right.
That's right. She talked about Matthew 24 as her go-to.
Right.
Can you just give us a brief, quick synopsis of what she kind of meant by saying for Matthew 24? Why should those listening read Matthew 24? And what would you expect to get out of reading Matthew 24?
The reason you need to read it is because Jesus is actually talking about, he's giving breadcrumbs. He's giving clues as to when the end of the age will be, or the system of things, which is the government.
Okay.
What the Bible says, the system of things is our government. So the disciples asked him at the beginning, they say, hey, it's kind of scary. We need to know, you know, what do we need to look for so we'll know the sign of the time so we won't get caught.
Right.
So Jesus starts to tell them what to look for so they won't get caught unaware. So that's one reason people need to read Matthew 24, because everything in it is going to happen.
Gotcha.
And that's signs that'll help us. The breadcrumbs are in there.
Okay.
So we won't get caught unaware. Because that was the biggest thing Jesus said to them. He said, make sure you don't get caught unaware.
Ah.
Make sure you don't get tricked.
Right.
So people that are ignorant get tricked.
Gotcha.
So he told them, don't be ignorant. So don't get tricked. That's one reason you need to read it. And what you're going to get out of it is the reality of what's unfolding in for, before our eyes. Wars, rumors of wars, mm-hmm. what we hear, he talked about that.
Right.
And it's in there. You're going to hear wars and rumors of wars. Mother going to hate daughter. Daughter going to hate mother. Son-in-law against dad. So that's what you're going to get out of it. You're going to see the things actually unfolding.
Wow.
That's in Matthew 24.
Deep.
Yeah, man.
Ooh, deep.
Yeah.
Yoda.
Ah, shout out.
Yoda.
I like that, man. I like that. I like that, bro. We got to... We might need to keep Yoda moment in there, bro. And Yoda. Don't tell me. I'm impressed with the first one, dude.
Okay.
High five. The reason you joined the church. That's fire.
Yeah, that was nice, man.
That's fire. I like.
If Jesus were alive today, do you think he would still be a carpenter?
I think Jesus is everything we are. I mean, that wow. If anybody wants to be something, you are Jesus. Like I said, a lot of time, people tell me, say, hold me arms up and let God in. He's in me. It's just me to look and see who he is, what I'm all about, things that I'm doing. I mean, wow. All these wrongs I made never got hurt. So I look at right now and thank God every day, you know? So what for him, I wouldn't be here. I dropped out of school, went back to school, got a good job at Alabama Power Company. You know?
Wow.
And so it's God. It's all true. You know, it's Jesus.
That's right.
All right.
So tell me, why, when you, growing up, why did you play multiple sports in high school instead of just one like today's athletes?
I was noticing sports. The main thing I wanted to do was I wanted to be a football player, but I was so small, you know? I was so small, but guys small with big heart makes it.
That's right.
You
sure.
Know?
Sure.
Look, guys, the small guy with big heart makes it, you know. And you just prove to other people that I'm small, but I got a bigger heart than you do.
Right. That's right.
So that's
right.
Where I push like I did.
Right.
My coach just, so a lot of guys in practice tell me, slow, we run the sprints, I'm down in the gym. One guy tell me, slow up, man, slow up. You know, so I smell that smoke coming out of you now. Good on. People want to throw up. Don't vomit. Be ashamed. I like the sports. I never had my father. My older brother was the next thing to a father for me because my father left when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't go hunting, fishing, anything like that. He taught me sports. It's a shame he wouldn't be able to see me perform because he got killed when I was 15 in a car wreck.
Yeah, I remember that.
Never forget what he taught me. So everything he taught me, he used to walk to the gym with me when I was up on the rookie, like he called me a rookie, I was on the bench.
Right.
He thought they should play me. He walked home and said, you'll be all right one day.
Wow.
And first thing I thought about it, he's not here to see me perform like this. And
wow.
So I just, I love this sports. Never went fishing or hunting. Have you invited to do that for me? You know, but I love the sports.
Right.
You know.
Which so, one? So, what when you were selected as a member of the women's USA basketball team, what went into that? What being selected? What kind of process? How did you get selected? What's the process like being selected to the USA women's basketball team?
That was another story because. My coach at North Georgia, after 1 year I was there, she left and got the job at Emporia State in Kansas. So several of the players transferred to Emporia State, and I was one of the ones that transferred to Emporia State.
Really? So you hit the transfer portal back in the 70s.
You know, now that I think about it, I did.
So the transfer portal been around.
So you're a pioneer in the transfer portal. Also.
We got to give you credit for that, too.
Yeah.
I told y'all she a queen of the court. So, Coach,
exactly.
what was Pat Summitt like as a teammate?
Well, during the whole time, I never knew Pat was, the whole time she was on the Olympic team, she was also the head coach at Tennessee.
Are you, really?
Yeah, they hired her when she was 22 years old.
He had been the coach at Tennessee for 2 years.
Wait a minute, coach. So you're telling me simultaneously as you were playing with her, she was to coach at Tennessee?
Yeah, but I didn't know it. I didn't know it till towards the end.
How?
Because I had mentioned to someone that my coach left Emporia, and I was like, I really don't want to go back. The only reason I transferred there was because she was there. So I jumped in the transfer portal again.
Oh, so you did it twice.
Oh, my goodness. Another first.
Coach, you getting the applause, coach.
You hitting that portal. You hitting that portal.
You hitting the portal
again.
Twice. You hit it twice on him, coach. I love it.
So, I had mentioned to one of my teammates that, you know, I want to go somewhere closer to home. And I'm Georgia, Tennessee, Georgia, right there, close together, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
And so Pat got wind of it. And next thing I know, everywhere I was, there she was, sitting next to me on the bus, sitting next to me in the dining hall, sitting next to me on the bench.
I mean,
like in my ear, but she was one of our captains. So I figured she was just trying to be a captain,
nah,
you know?
She was recruiting you.
She was recruiting.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
She's smart. She's smart. That is amazing that she was doing that both at the same time. That's amazing.
So she offered you. So she offered you why during the Olympics to come to Tennessee.
Well, she didn't offer me anything. I paid my own way.
Ah,
really?
I've never had a basketball scholarship. Even though every team I ever played on, I was always the best player.
So you basically worked and paid for your own.
Work, study, loans, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Tennessee has never given me anything, even to this day.
That needs to be retroactive somehow. Huh?
They need it.
And you still hold records.
They owe you some money, coach.
You still hold records, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
And they won't hang my jersey either. Even though I was first black player to play for Pat, I was the first Olympian that played in that program, I was the first All-American. Actually, I was the first All-American for any women's sports at Tennessee.
Really?
I led her to her first Final Four. I broke 11 records when I was there. I think 6 of them still stand today.
Yeah, I know the scoring record. I know is one of them.
I'm in the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame 3 times. Once as a player, twice as a trailblazer with the Olympic team, and then with the first women's pro league, the WBL. And then last August, I was inducted in the Naismith.
Well, wow. Coach, I didn't even give you half of what you credited for then. I missed it. I got to do your introduction again. Was that ever a time where you considered LSU possibly winning it all over South Carolina?
South Carolina has the best team.
Okay.
When you look at the team, it's like a machine, and it goes and it goes and it goes, and she changes players.
Right.
And then you have to give Dawn Staley her flowers because it's hard sometimes to coach that team concept. But when you look at Dawn Staley, the motion picked up, the momentum picked up. Those girls won all those games.
Right.
Yeah. And you can look at the coaching part. You can look at how she guided it. I mean, you know,
right.
They say coaching's easy, but I don't know. Dawn Staley's she's a heck of a coach.
That's right.
Of course, we can all agree, player coaches are the best coaches. I don't care what sport you play, basketball, football.
And particularly the point guard.
Right.
Particularly the point guard. That's why Kim Mulkey and her are two of the better coaches in college basketball.
And what's his name for the coach for Golden State?
Steve Kerr.
Steve Kerr.
Steve Kerr.
Good coach, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at the experience he had. Players coach.
Yeah.
So I said this, Marcus, I said this to Coach off air. I said Dawn Staley is underrated.
Yes, very much so.
We said
very
that.
Much
yeah.
So. I mean,
we all agree.
She could coach she could really coach a guy's team.
Wow.
You could trust her. Hey, seriously.
So let me ask
you. Now let's
hold tight.
I know you ready to go. I know you ready to go.
We had this question.
Hey, Marcus.
We had this question.
And I posed this.
We had this question. Could Dawn Staley coach at Kentucky?
Dawn Staley, I was about to say, could go straight to Kentucky right now. I would tell you, I would send my son there.
You mean the men's Kentucky team?
Coach Calipari is going to go to Arkansas.
I would match him with Dawn Staley and show that he left some on the table.
Calipari?
Wow.
Come on, Dawn Staley. Wait a minute now.
She would have the respect of the men. She would have the respect. I would send my son. But listen, I was going to say on a whole nother level, she could go to the NBA.
She could.
And
She's better than a lot of those coaches that are coaching in the NBA right now.
And the reason why I'm not going to say the WNBA, because I expect the WNBA to have her next season.
I think she's big enough to coach on the men's side.
Marcus, you just brought up something because LB said this, and it's in the same vein. He said that if he was the AD for Virginia, he would break the bank to get Dawn Staley.
At her house in the driveway right now.
Yeah.
I would be. If I was him, I'd be there right now.
That's his alumnus. I mean, she's an alumni of Virginia.
She's home.
But that's home, Marcus.
But you're going to lose her to the dollars. Now, listen, and the reason why I say this is because think about the Vegas team. I gotta match their intensity. How do you beat that Vegas team? Dawn Staley. Think about the WNBA right now. Think about it. And guess who will be her first pick? Where she goes? She gets Caitlin Clark.
Wow.
Well, Vegas got a coach. She ain't going nowhere.
I'm talking about another team to match Vegas intensity. You have to take Dawn Staley.
Oh, right. Correct. That's correct.
And draft Caitlin Clark to that team also.
I got you.
That's how you beat Vegas.
Correct.
You have to match their intensity.
Right. If she goes WNBA. And if she goes to college, she could go Virginia, women. Makes sense.
Yeah.
I think she could take Kentucky's job.
But here's the thing, Marcus.
Yeah. But hold up. Let me tell you what's something that's bigger than everything that we're talking about. We're discussing Dawn Staley.
Right.
Right.
Over all sports right now.
Wow.
And that's big. And we're skipping over men's sports in general.
Right.
We're talking about her position in sports right now as a coach. And I think that's big. So hats off to her.
Shout out to Dawn Staley. But here's why we're talking about it though. Because all right, what would you name your autobiography if you had the title and why?
I would name my autobiography simply Memphis.
M-E-M-P-H-I-S,
Memphis. Making easy moves, playing hoops in style.
Wow.
Because that's how we live. That's how we did it.
Making easy moves, playing hoops in style, Memphis.
In style.
I like that.
We wanted the Cadillacs. We wanted the fine cars. And, hey, you know, sometimes we wanted that quick money.
Right.
Right.
But all in all, it's one thing, you know.
So we've got a little segment. This is your granddaughter's segment. It's called the Mary's Nerd Nugget Fun Fact.
Mm.
The last time Minnesota won the Big Ten Conference title in football was in 1967. How does it feel to be a part of the last Big Ten championship football team?
Well, we keep waiting for the record to be broken, but
that's a long time.
We're kind of like the old Miami Dolphins.
Right.
That undefeated team they had.
Don Shula.
Every year, they keep saying, the record's going to be broken. But we remain the last Big Ten champions.
Wow. Did you ever think you would return to your alma mater as an AD?
I had no clue. When I left in 68, all I was thinking about was what's next, and the first hurdle I had to overcome was to try not to go to Vietnam to be a part of the Vietnam War.
Wow.
And the social service agent there in Elizabeth City woman by the name of Ruth Scott. Now, how in hell I remember that name from so far, but
I will remember it too.
She was going to send me to Vietnam. And I ended up being in New Jersey for a weekend. And during that time, I went to a party, was whining about having to go to Vietnam. These guys I met ended up telling me that their commanding officer was a diehard Giants fan. So they said, when you come to the check-in tomorrow, you know, we'll meet you and we'll introduce you to him. So I go down on a Saturday morning to the induction center thinking that I'm getting ready to go to Vietnam, and I got training camp a month and a half away. I ended up going through the medical review, and never will forget it. I ended up getting a 1F, which is physically unable to perform.
Wow.
And then obviously went to training camp, and as they say, the rest is history.
Wow. Physically unable to perform.
But could play for the Giants.
Wow.
Yep, thank God.
I got to know this before we move to the next question. Coming out of the tunnel, what was that? You know, I see a lot of things nowadays. It's a lot of hype, and it's like, I love it when, you know, they show pregame and they're in the tunnel, and coming out of the tunnel, I hear a lot of players saying that the adrenaline rush. What is that like coming out of the tunnel to thousands of fans just screaming? Like, what is that like?
Well, it's an adrenaline rush, and, you know, you get excited. You are already excited, obviously, because, you know, you're getting ready to play a game. You're pumped up because of, you know, the competition. I think the time that I felt like the most pumped, we were playing the Chicago Bears, and I had an opportunity to play against D.L. Sayers, who was obviously one of the best running backs in the history of NFL. And, you know, that opportunity, you know, I was sort of pumped. You know how sometimes when you're getting ready to play against talented people,
you get
a little bit more pumped than another time.
Exactly, Dr. Right. Boston. I love it. That's what I was talking about. I needed you to take me in the tunnel with you, and you just took me in the tunnel with you. Thank you for that.
I be liking this. The Final Drive Sports Jeopardy.
Let's get it.
Listen, what was the favorite game to play sex with girls? Truth or dare, or hide and go get it? Boy, wait a minute. You got to think this out. So, the benefits of truth or dare is that you get to wage what you want. But the hide and go get it, I'm leaning toward truth or dare, dude. Because that was more sexy, I think.
Truth or dare.
And then you wanted to see if the chick
wanted to get down right.
You knew by her choice what she wanted to do.
Right, exactly.
Which made it more sexy. I'm going truth or dare. What you got?
How to go get it was more of a
challenge.
Like a kid, you know, running around experimenting type thing, you know.
Truth or dare was it.
Yeah, truth or dare was it.
Hands down.
Truth or dare.
All right. So I like this.
We talked about this red flag.
We did, dude.
Red flags. And
yeah, red flags. Now, I'm going to read.
Look, hold on, wait. Look, I'm going to tell you right now. If you are, I'm going to paint a picture for you right now. Let's say you're walking, okay?
Yeah.
You're walking. And you got to cross the street. And you see this person coming.
All right.
And I ain't trying to stereotype. We're going to talk about everybody.
Okay,
but
right.
This one particular instance, if you see a young black girl with a baseball cap driving with her face up at the steering wheel like she holding her pee, and the front or right bumper is hanging, if she got a graduation tassel hanging, get the fuck out the way. just move. Just bad news. You don't want to be associated with that on any level.
She's what you call a liability.
A liability, yes.
They cover that in the insurance.
She's a red flag liability.
Oh my goodness. She's a liability. You know what? Some people only have liability coverage.
Right.
They're dangerous too.
Very much so. And my bet is that she don't have no insurance. If that pumper had it, she ain't got no insurance. She just out there running over folks. Like I said, get the fuck out the way. Hey, tell me right now, give me another eyes moment. Where you've been? Tell me somewhere else you've been.
I tell you, and I want to take my time and think about this, because I have been in some places, dude. Like I have been blessed to be able to see some things and go places.
That's
dude.
Why I asked the same question, because I have too.
At a young age, yes. Bro. You go first, and I'm because I got to think of mine, because I got a lot of them.
I once went to the women's basketball Final Four. I think it was 1998.
Okay,
and so when Purdue won, they beat either Tennessee or Louisiana Tech.
Okay,
and I had a friend that took us to San Francisco. So we went up this cliff, and so I'm up on the top of this cliff in San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
and to my right, the sun is setting on the Pacific Ocean.
Mm-hmm. I know you love water.
In front of me is the Bay of San Francisco with the Golden Gate Bridge.
Okay,
and you could see San Francisco, and then you could see Oakland in the distance.
Oh, that's fire!
And it was beach rock. On the very bottom of where we were in the cliff,
right.
At the very bottom.
Okay,
it was just most breathtaking thing I've ever seen.
Wow,
Alcatraz was sitting right there. Yeah, and the sun, when the sun set on the Pacific, the rays went through all the way, and it was almost like lighting up the city itself.
Wow.
Yeah,
I think I got. Can I mention two?
I mean, you can mention three if you want.
I was in
it's our podcast.
Keflavik, Iceland.
You can tell.
So I was in Keflavik, Iceland. Okay. I lived there for 3 years, and I saw the Northern Lights.
Nice.
Yes. This is there. It's right there. It looks like
this is when you were in the Navy still.
Yes.
Okay.
I saw the Northern Lights.
The real Northern Lights.
Yes. Right there. It was almost like,
how cold was that up there?
Oh, dude. When we got there, it was because we had to leave from Keflavik to Reykjavik, and from Reykjavik up further. Right. So it was like 21 degrees.
You watch any hockey when you was out there?
No, I didn't. I saw a lot of polar bears.
Up close?
Yeah. And they had burn marks on them. You know, they have to put these... fences, electric fences on border them off in certain areas.
Because
they out there. You can't.
Right.
You have to rally them. You got to kind of flock them in like sheep. And every now and then they test that fence.
David Attenborough would be pissed if he heard that.
Well, I see, dude. I just come and just say it. But yeah, the other place real quick. I think I mentioned it. The Rock of Gibraltar.
I saw the Rock of Gibraltar.
Okay. Yeah, in the Straits of Gibraltar.
For those that don't know, explain what
Prudential Rock. You remember to get a piece of the rock? Right. The Prudential Rock. That's the Rock of Gibraltar. I actually saw that rock, and it's actually a monumental rock to the point where if you try to get a piece of it, they lock you up. They literally trying to get a piece of the rock over there. They try to get a piece, but they go to jail.
Wow.
Yes, because this is like sacred to them.
Oh, yes. My gosh.
Yeah, so. Yep, so that's what I saw, man. Those are the places.
Nice.
Been a lot of places, you know, on Uncle Sam's dime. Thank you, Uncle Sam.
All right, Uncle Sam.
Facts. Only nobody setting that up for me.
Well, I got a good one. Let's see, all the listeners. Let's see about the listeners if you can get this one.
Okay.
What was on page 43?
of what?
What was on page 43 of this magazine?
Oh! The Jet Beauty of the Month.
The Jet Beauty of the Week, baby.
Oh, yeah. I knew you had to say it one more time.
In my childhood home, I had the wall of Jet Beauties.
Did
my
I say it was page 32 or 30? I said the wrong page.
You said the wrong page. I looked it what up. It's 43.
I said 34.
Yeah, it's 43.
I either said 32 or 34, but I remember because I used to fold it down every week.
I was like, who can compare my Jet magazine?
I'm talking about religiously.
Yes.
Wow, that's a good fact. I was close.
You were close.
All right. Best jet pilots, Navy. You know who I'm gonna pick? Navy or Air Force? I actually got a little detail on this, and to the point because I used to work with jets in the Navy.
Okay.
You got the F-22 Raptor, and you got the F-35. Right now, as far as jets, fighter jets, mm-hmm. top two.
Okay.
You can't.
Are they in the Air Force or the Navy?
One is Air Force, one's the Navy.
Okay.
All right. Navy is the F-35. Air Force is F-22, the Raptor. The Navy is the F-35.
Okay.
Listen, one is better at maneuverability, but the other is better at dogfighting. You know, dogfighting is when you...
Yeah.
One got a tighter turn, but one got more speed. So you got the one and two punch. You got the top two.
Right.
So at... And I'm being honest. Mm-hmm. And I was Navy. If I had to pick one, I'd go with the F-22 with the Air Force. The Raptor it's a beast, bro.
Really?
It is a beast. And some of the stuff that it can do.
Well, a lot of people don't realize, you know, you associate Navy with ships and you don't realize how big of an air they have.
I got another fun fact. You ever heard of a 50 cal?
No.
Okay. In the Navy, we have what they call 50 cal. It's a 50 cal rifle.
Okay.
It's one of the ones that you have to put the peg under. You can't hold it.
Okay, right.
It's that much.
Right.
First, a 50 caliber bullet is 6 inches long. One bullet. This is the longest this pin.
Wow.
Which the average pin is 6 inches long. I knew that because in the military, they tell you, if you don't have any measure, you use the average pin 6 inches. Yeah, every pin. So
you hear that, man? Average pin is 6 inches.
A 50 cal bullet. Yeah. A 50 cal shoots a bullet that's this long, 6 inches long, but it's probably a nice size, cigar size,
or maybe thicker.
Let me tell you something. The velocity. Listen to what I'm telling you. The velocity alone on a 50 cal bullet, if it passes within 20 inches of your shoulder, it'll dislocate your shoulder. The bullet don't have to hit you. It's the wind that comes off of the bullet. If I shoot at you and I miss you by 20, up to 20 inches, it'll still dislocate your shoulder. Your shoulder bone would dislocate.
Wow.
That's the velocity coming off the 50 cal bullet.
50 cal.
Yes. I saw a man get hit with one bullet. He had a Scud missile running to shoot down a target, and it was a helicopter that had a 50 cal on the side. He shot, it hit his upper body, it liquefied his upper body, his legs took 10 more steps, and his upper body was gone.
Like a chicken got his head cut off.
Gone.
Oh, my.
That's what one 50 cal bullet will do.
Woo.
One bullet.
And you were shooting those?
No, I've seen them shoot.
Oh, you seen them shoot, okay.
Yes. Those are statistics. Like, we had helicopters that had them. So, see, I had to be familiar with the armament of the helicopters. We had H-3s and we had H-46s, all right? So, some of them had armament. So, in order, if I was the LSE, Landing Sigmund Enlisted, I had to be familiar with the armament on that.
Right.
So, I could move properly. So, the 50 cals, we had to study them. Yeah. So yeah, I just wanted to drop that.
That's a fun fact.
That's a fun fact.
Let me ask you, when was the last time you shit yourself? Change gears.
when I saw 50 caliber bullet.
Oh my God. Have you ever pissed in the shower? When was the last time?
As a man.
Probably the last time I took a shower. I do it all the time.
Does your wife know?
Yeah. I'm sure they piss in the shower. Mm-mm. Women don't piss in the shower?
No. I don't think.
My wife has pissed in the shower.
Your wife pissed in the shower?
Yes. She's pissed in the shower while I was in the shower with her. I stood upriver, of course.
But, man, what the fuck are y'all doing up here?
No, I'm saying she had to pee. And she didn't feel like getting out. She stood and talking about the drink.
Oh my goodness.
She has. I've done it. You've never peed in the shower?
Yeah. I mean, you aim in the drain. I think every guy has
done it.
Did
you say aim in the drain?
Aim in the drain.
That sounds like
but
some
see,
type
for
of...
a guy, you just not peeing like all over the tub. You know what
no.
I mean?
No.
You peeing towards the drain.
But so are the women.
But women, are you?
They are.
I mean, how does
they
that work?
They got a pretty good system in place. God saw fit.
If we need to move on, man, because we're about to get in trouble.
No, they do. They got a good system in place.
They do.
They're pretty accurate.
That's true.
They are.
Okay.
They're accurate, bro.
Okay.
Like, they got... You know,
okay.
So I think they're good.
Okay.
Yeah. So to answer your question, yes.
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 What if the Hulk fought the Thing? Who would win?
Okay. Now you have to be a comic book buff to understand where I'm coming from.
Come on, team.
A comic book
buff just asked
yes,
you.
Sir.
I asked you because
yes,
I collected comic books. So
The Hulk is immortal, so the Hulk is the one that's going to win that thing right there. The thing that you got to understand is, see, Ben Grimm has an attitude.
Wow.
Okay, it's clobbering time for him. well, his attitude don't do nothing but feed the Hulk. So ain't no calming the Hulk, ain't no explaining that he's going to turn him into David Banner because, no, them fists being thrown. Them hands are being thrown, and everybody is upset. So, yeah, it just feeds the Hulk. So, yeah, you ain't got to worry about David Banner. You got to worry about Ben Grimm.
I love it. T, you get some hand claps
yeah,
out.
Yeah. Which WNBA player are you taking to your high school prom?
Oh. Angel Reese.
Angel Reese?
It's so many.
It's a lot. It's
you yeah. can't do that. You got to give me a pass in the. You got to give me a pass pulling in the. You know what I'm saying? So give me two, bro. Let me pick from like you know Lisa Leslie in them days.
Oh man,
Lisa Leslie too tall, bro.
Wrap them big legs around you.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna have to go with her though. Past. Lisa, in the past. But you give me your past, and then we'll give you our present
going
together.
I'm going with Skylar Diggins.
See, I knew you was going to pick one that I was going to miss, dude.
She's strong. Great point guard. Great handles.
Carry the rock, dude.
Yeah, she can carry that
ball.
Rock. Pass the ball.
So look.
She's spinning all the way around. Dishing their rock.
Is she good in the paint or is she better from the arc?
She's draining it, boy.
Draining it?
Yeah, she's draining it.
Okay.
She's draining it.
So, my future, the present one, a present NBA player. I'm going Angel Reese, bro.
Hey, I take her to the prom.
Who you got?
I told you Skylar Diggins. And Well, the number two, what was the two pick in the WNBA? I'll take her.
Which one that who's
that was the number two pick?
That's why you're gonna take it.
Let's move on to the next question.
Hold on, no, coach.
Let's move on to the next question.
All right, come on. Okay, come on. All right, who would you hire as your accountant? Oh man, MC Hammer. Allen Iverson, Andre Rison, or Keith McCann. Dude, all of them suck.
I wouldn't let none of them touch my
money. None of them. Listen.
Do you remember that story about the on ESPN, the 30 for 30, on Keith McCann's?
No.
What Keith McCann's looked at the camera. He said, man, at one point, he said, I had 11 mortgages. He said, and I ain't know who was in the houses.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Andre Rison told the dude, he said, they were driving, and his agent said that that would make a good daiquiri shop. He wrote him a check for 40 grand.
Right. I remember
and
that.
And he said he never went back to see if it never even opened.
Yep. $40,000.
And yeah. Hammer and Iverson just had too many people on their payroll.
Hey, they say MC Hammer water bill was $25,000 a month because he had the
Jesus Christ. Money before he could get it. I ain't mad at him, man. Give him a hand clap, man. I'm not mad at him, man. Spend that money, Hammer.
They say Hammer had a whole river run through his house, man. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. That's a LA water. Had water. He had a whole river going through his house, bro.
Oh my goodness.
Hey, so, and I ain't got no diarrhea jokes.
You got any diarrhea jokes?
You must have one. That's why you put it on there. Come on with it, bro. I know you got one, bro. Come on.
It was more like a saying.
I knew it.
Not that a joke. I was walking down the hall, and I heard something fall. Diarrhea. Diarrhea. I was walking by a gutter. And it looked like peanut butter. Diarrhea. Diarrhea.
Okay. The importance of foreplay. Dude, let me say this. Foreplay for me. Mm-hmm. Let me run this down to y'all. Listen to me.
On your mark.
You set.
Get set. Go.
Foreplay for me starts before you even get to the house. Foreplay for me starts when your check hit the bank and then you pay your bills. You're grown up and wise with your bills. You take care of your business. You can still have your whole three-piece suit on. Yeah. Ladies, you can have a blouse on up to your neck. But if you're paying bills, you sexy. If you're responsible, right. That's foreplay. You messing with me. You right. Following me all over by going and taking care of business. And look, you know what else right. Foreplay is?
What?
When the woman takes care of what she's supposed to take care of
right.
And the man takes care of what he's supposed to take care of, that's foreplay like hell right there. Ooh, they you funding me now. When you do what women good at,
right,
you funding me now. You right. Got me ready to go. And I still got my clothes on. Now by the time I get home and I see you been and did what women are good at,
right,
I get even more horny. Cause I'm like, oh my goodness. Not only, you feel me? So the foreplay starts with me. I'm not done yet.
Again,
so
preach,
then once you do that and you taking care of business and the house is in order, amen.
Amen.
I help clean up, I don't mind. But the house is in order.
Right.
And we both do our roles.
Right.
I'm really turned on. I ain't even got back to the bedroom yet. Now by the time we start kissing and rubbing, that's the physical foreplay. I'm ready.
Right. Right.
You see
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's foreplay for me.
Okay.
Paying bills is sexy. That turns me on. It arouses me. It arouses me. It does. But unpaid bills, not all the blood is up in my chest.
It's a turn off.
So if the blood is in my chest, guess where it ain't? It ain't on old AK-47. It ain't on old painless. It ain't on
9mm.
It ain't on old painless now. See? Because your focus is off.
That's right.
Foreplay.
They go hand in hand.
So to answer your question.
Yeah.
That's my rant on foreplay.
All good.
What about you?
I'm gonna lead yours. I think we just need to give it yours.
I gave it good enough for both of us.
For both of us.
Dude, do you agree?
Yes. No, seriously though.
Does that not turn you on as a man?
As a man, you want someone to be sexy.
Right.
But sexy is not necessarily in how you look.
No.
It's how you carry yourself.
Right.
The things that you do.
Your attitude,
the way that you move, the business that you take care
of. Yes.
You know? Dude. How you stand, how you conversate.
Right. How you respond.
Yeah. All those things.
How you move in wisdom.
Right.
Virtue.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All of that stuff matter to me.
It do.
Let me tell you something, dude. While we on this subject, little stuff turned me on.
Right.
Y'all want to hear the truth, here go the truth. All right. Listen. If a woman got on footies, I go crazy.
For footies?
Yes. Just footies. Just footies. And don't let her have the ball on the back. You know how the ball on the ankle ball? You know how I had the ball on the back? On the back in the footy? Dude, I don't know what it is, but it's
you got a.
I got a footy fetish. I'm telling you, it's something about like footies.
Yeah,
seriously, that's it. You can have them. They can be two different colors. Okay. It could be a red one and a blue one. It could be a white one and a pink one. But it's just footies. You know what I'm saying? It's just on the ankle, and the ankle not thick, but they you know nice size. You know what I'm saying? But footies, bro. I go, woo, that's a form of foreplay for me.
Norbit. Who was that lady in Norbit? Who was that?
The fat one?
Yeah. What if she had on some footies?
Oh, no. She couldn't do nothing. You
come on over here.
Hey, man. You put a footie on her foot, it'd be like putting on a rubber. That's how tight the sock would be on her foot, dude. You know how tight her skin is.
Come on over here, Rick.
I had to bring that, but that's something that turns me on. What's something that's odd that little stuff like a woman can do?
I'll tell you what, the opposite is for me is tears. Like if I saw you had on footies and it was torn. I saw a hole. That's a turn
that
off.
That turns you off?
That turns me off.
Because
you have like
she got razors on
pair of panties feet. And they're torn. Man, that is a turn off.
Oh.
It's a turn off.
Ripped panties.
Ripped. Just any, you know, just a little flaw. Like, that's a turn off to me.
Like, what if a thread loose on the thong?
Well, it depends on how big that thread is. It don't look like a tampon string.
Oh, no.
Thread,
okay, all right.
It's like a little thread. It's different.
When and how did you find out that Santa Claus is not real?
For me, I was I had just moved into this neighborhood. I was 8.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the kids were older than me. Okay. Two, 3 years older.
Okay.
And they were talking about what they were going to get for Christmas. This I think it was Atari was the game that just came out.
Okay.
So they were talking about it. And I hollered, yeah, I'm gonna get Santa Claus to get me Atari. And they was like, Santa Claus? And broke it down to me right there.
And how old were you?
8. Ugh. My dad did a good job with Christmas. He did a good job with Christmas.
So did he teach you that there was Santa Claus?
He just made me believe that gifts was going to be, you know, on Christmas Day, gifts were going to be there.
I'm going to tell you how I found out. I was always nosy. So when I, you know, with Christmas, I'm excited. I just look at the news and then they say, oh, we just spied a Santa's sleigh over such and such. I get excited. The first couple of years, be laying up under the cover sweating, thinking Santa Claus. One night, my dad got drunk while he was putting the presents out and he gave it up. He was like, yeah, Rick going out fun on this bike I bought him. He gonna ride this down the neighborhood. And little Rick, I bought him this bike.
And that's what you
want? I sat up in my bed. I said, bought my bike? Say it ain't so. This Santa thing is a hustle? Damn. And then you know what I said? I laid back down. I said, well, at least I know what I got for Christmas. So that's how I found out Santa Claus wasn't real.
Oh,
man.
My God.
Yeah.
Check that out.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry. For the first time in history, the Jet Beauty of the Week has to be a white woman from The Young and the Restless. Oh, man. Who you put on page 43? Nikki Newman, Ashley Abbott, Catherine Chancellor, or Lauren Fenmore? Well, first of all, if I'm not mistaken, Miss Chancellor used to smoke them Virginia Slims. So I don't really like no women that smoke. So Miss Chancellor.
So she out.
Miss Chancellor out with the Virginia Slims.
Plus she 100 years old.
Plus she wrinkled.
She was 100
that,
years old back in the day.
She looked like Maude from Solid Gold. You remember Maude from Solid Gold, yeah. That dummy?
Right.
He used to be. So Miss Chancellor out
She's
the picture.
She's out.
Now, I'm going to say Nikki Newman. Or either Ashley Abbott. Who you going with?
I think Lauren Fenmore.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I ain't mad at
it's
you.
It's either Lauren or Ashley.
I think I'm going with Ashley Abbott.
Yeah, it's either Lauren or Ashley.
Yeah, I think I put Ashley Abbott on okay. Page 43 for me.
Yeah, it's either Lauren or Ashley. All right, girl story.
Ah.
Can you remember the first girl that you kissed that had bad breath?
Oh, man. Probably the same girl I lost my virginity to in the back of that Cutlass Supreme.
Damn.
Yeah.
She was a piece of work.
Her breath wasn't the greatest. Oof. Yeah. It was a long evening. I'm sorry. It was, dude.
Ooh, hey, Coach. I bet you that car was stanking.
Oh,
bro.
Man, bro. Now, it was, you know what? Anyway, we'll leave it like that.
Yes.
Listen, it's been your boy. You the only field coach.
Rest assured, this is your boy, Coach Boston, a.k.a. Steeler Nation, a.k.a. a hot.
This your off the field coach, your life coach, a.k.a. Mr. Coach Reback, a.k.a. Mr. Orgy Party, not no more, a.k.a. with the football know-it-all. This has been On and Off the Field. Shout out.
Shout we out. Out.